Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. Vlogcast comes from a skeptical point of view to answer some of the questions of why. The Vlogcast started as a combination of spite and the Streisand effect when some people on Facebook that I knew back from high school posted stuff on Facebook, which was the way they wanted to use Facebook, and complained that I was using Facebook today the way that I wanted to use Facebook, which was to correct the stuff they were posting because it was wrong. Part of this is also to follow through with the old adage that sometimes the journey is more important than the destination. I'm known as Shujin Tribble all over the place. You can find me under most everything that way. I was born to a Roman Catholic family in Brooklyn, New York, raised on Long Island. I currently reside outside of Buffalo, New York, and am an unabashed atheist. Starting on the panel tonight, starting over on the left coast of North America, good evening, Dallin.
Good evening, folks. Online known as Dallin. Born and raised in North Central Canada to a Lutheran family. Church wasn't much more for me than going every Sunday and doing just that. My parents always encouraged me to question everything, never stop learning, and above all, keep an open mind. And that served me very well over the years. And up until recently, I was very live and let live when it came to religion. Until the Village Idiots, read fundamentalists, started gaining an awful lot more traction for my friends down in the South, and I realized it was time to take a stand.
Moving to the East, over into Southern Ontario. Good morning, Heretic Woman.
Good morning. I'm over here in Ontario, down in the pointy bit, in case anybody was curious. And I was raised in the United Church of Canada many years ago, which is relatively liberal as far as churches go. But my stupid teenage move was to join a Calvinist sect, because apparently I thought that was a better thing to do. I was wrong. Don't recommend it. But I have been an atheist for 26 years now, and that's much better way to be. And I spend as much time as I can trying to bring reason to the religiously afflicted and point out their fallacies if and whenever I can. Because like Dallin, I used to be kind of complacent, and there's too much crap in the world these days, and I cannot stay quiet any longer, and so I try to be the biggest advocate for reason and sanity that I can.
Religiously afflicted. That's a new term. I hadn't heard you use that one before. That was good.
That just popped into my head right now.
You know what? I've had shows like that where I try to get an introduction written for somebody for like 2 weeks and bang the whole damn thing out in 10 minutes and turned out to be good. So good on you there.
Yeah.
Moving to the southwest from there into the now shifted camera that you've got. This is a new view for you.
I rearranged my office. Yay!
See that? Into the Midwest of the U.S. Good evening, Bridget.
Good evening. I was born and raised in the South, relocated to the Midwest, grew up in the Church of Christ, and was fully immersed in that, and got out in about 2003 when the last pieces of the armor, fell off. In about 2010, when the theocrats here started acting out, I got involved politically and tried, to shut some of that stuff down. And now I fight back against biblical patriarchy and fundamentalism everywhere that I find it.
Moving to the east, south of me, where it's still freakishly cold, unfortunately. Good morning, Joey.
Joey's not here, man.
He's got that mute button thing going on right now.
The funny part is, how long do you think it's going to take him to realize it?
He can hear us, so it's a matter of that. Hold on a second. Let me see if I can unmute you from my side.
Well, I did actually unmute myself. I'm wondering why the hell it went back to mute in the first place.
Because
Tech, Google Hangouts. Shush.
Because technology is evil.
It hates.
Good morning, Joey.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. Name's Joe. I was born to an Irish Catholic family in Chicago, Illinois. I spent 8 years in the military. I'm now living in Pittsburgh as a designer and an atheist.
Moving to the right from there, into the shades of De Capital. Good morning on Renault Tech.
Yes. Yes, it is. Oh, is that my cue to introduce myself?
Unless you'd like me to move on.
My name's Renaud Tech. I'm drinking tonight. Tonight I'm having a lovely vodka, as you can see. Although that kind of does look like water. Go figure.
Is that ash in the water?
Oh, look, that's rum, so we're good. I've got vodka and rum. We're going to have a great show tonight, folks. I am getting liquored up. And I'm an atheist. I grew up in a mixed religious background. I practiced Judaism. I was born again Christian at one point in my life. Studied several other religions. And I came to the general conclusion that, wow, they're all full of crap. Let's try logic. Oh, that worked. Next.
That's my cue. Moving across the pond over to the north of England. Good morning, Chris.
Right, good morning, Shujin. I'm Chris. Currently living in the north of England, where I work in tech support. Was raised nominally Catholic. Frequently, yes. Yeah, and making sure all the things are in the right holes.
I didn't even have. I wasn't going there. I really.
Yes, you were.
Yes, I was.
The bunch of you're all in there.
Yeah. Let's finish off as we typically do over into Paris. Good morning, Joseph.
Good morning. Yeah, my name's Joseph. I'm a Canadian living in Paris, France since, 25 years now. And I just do everything I can to get people to think for themselves.
So I want to thank everybody for joining us this evening. If you are watching live, of course, feel free to take advantage of the question and answer system here on Google Hangouts. We'd be more than happy to take on whatever items that you would like. We've got a lot of stuff that we're going to go through. This should not be nearly as cantankerous as last week's episode, and if you made it through that, first off, congratulations. That was interesting. I've gotten some interesting feedback from people that I've met live today, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. Before I get to the five-minute freestyle, mainly because I want to go ahead and piss off somebody, I have a mug from Tim Hortons, because we were over in Canada earlier today. I had a good time. And I want you to take a quick look for those of you that are watching. For those of you that are listening on the audio version, just take my word on this for a second. Tim Hortons this year has decided that their cups are all going to look like somebody had done a Christmas knitted sweater. And it's actually really, really cool looking.
Snowflakes.
Yep, it's got snowflakes. It's got the name of Tim Hortons on it, and on the bottom, it has hashtag warm wishes, and hashtag, and from what my daughter tells me, is also warm wishes, but in French. And I'm not going to begin to try to pronounce it, because I can't.
Try.
Give it to Joe.
Try, show me.
Yeah, show it to the cameraman. We can.
Let's see.
Milieu,
which loosely translates to
best wishes.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's this again, not the 5 minutes, but this is how you do it right. It's simple, it's elegant, and it gets the point across. And how much cheaper was it, and just as effective, to just have a cup with just one color to it? Asshat.
wait a minute. Starbucks only used one color.
That's the point.
They their green logo in the middle.
Yes, but the point is they did
the cup in Furistine red.
Yes.
No, that was it.
He should have been flattered by that.
My point is that both Tim Hortons and Starbucks are doing it right. So have a big old mug of stiffu, those of you that are complaining. That's what it comes down to.
Have a nice cup of shut the fuck up.
No. Wrong episode. Not yet.
Stop you.
So you just used our one
here. Have a nice warm big cup of shut the front door.
How do you say well wishes again in French?
Warm wishes?
We
wouldn't say that in French.
Best wishes.
Yeah, how do you say it in French?
Et vous chaleureux. Yeah, well, I guess you could say it. Vous chaleureux.
Okay, well, then I'm confused because people were telling me something else that meant that.
Yeah.
Can you translate this for me? They kept saying fatwa at me. I don't know what that means.
I'm gonna go ahead and remind Dallin. I'm gonna remind Dallin. Dallin, you're gonna take that out in post, right?
I'll do what I can.
Yeah, of course you will.
No, he won't.
Anyway. Is that a bad thing? Wait, is that a bad thing?
I don't know, and I don't really want to find out at this point. We got a
show.
Not helping that. Anyway, getting things started over here. As usual, with 5 minutes on your clock, your five-minute freestyle with apologies to Noah, Heath, and Lucinda from The Scathing Atheist. You should really be watching them. Starts right now. Now, yes, it is going. So I went ahead and I decided I was going to title this one, Bro, Do You Even Skeptic? Now, I was really going to turn this into an entire episode, and I wanted to have Sam Mulvey from Ask an Atheist with Sam Mulvey on with us. Unfortunately, timing has kind of passed, and we don't have him, and that's okay. That's okay. I know full well one of these days we'll have Sam back, because he was a great guy to have on, and I respect him a lot. But here's what it all came down to. You guys remember, not too very long ago, down in Texas, they had the Clock Boy. Now, let's think about this for a second. We've got a lot of information well after the fact, but in the moment, we didn't. As is usual, we don't know anything until it happens, kind of the same way that God described himself in the movie Oh God. How do you know what it is that you're dealing with? As a skeptic, our job is to try to figure stuff out. That's one of the things that drives us like crazy. We want to know. We want to know what the next thing is. We want to know what it is that we're dealing with. Well, the school district failed. Now, regardless of what happened after the fact, in that moment, the school district failed. And I'll explain very simply why. As a quick recap, the school district school teacher got into a big tizzy because here's this kid with brown skin, and he made a clock, a digital clock, and brought it in. The alarm went off. Was it intentional? Don't know at this point. Doesn't matter to the story. Was there a concern about everything? Yeah, there was. A bomb threat? Okay, sure, yeah. Oh, didn't call in a bomb disposal, didn't call the anybody to deal with that, didn't evacuate the place. Okay, whatever. You know what? Leave all that aside for a second, because that's immaterial at this point. Teacher had something they didn't understand. As a skeptic, what would my job be? What is it supposed to be? Next question should be, who can confirm it? Now, apparently it was the English teacher that went ahead and got into a tizzy about the whole thing. And English teacher didn't have enough electronic knowledge to understand what it was. Now, me, having done some ham radio stuff, I would have been able to recognize there's a power rectifier, there's a diode, there's a chip being used for a timing, there's an LED board, there's a driver, there's the ribbon that's actually connected to the system that takes care of which LEDs get turned on and off for the display. And nothing else that is remotely liable to go boom, except for maybe some capacitors that were made in China a while ago. But I digress. Who would have been able to confirm it? Basically, anybody with any electronic knowledge should have been able to figure out exactly what it was, or minimally what it wasn't. And how many teachers in that place would have had this kind of knowledge? Well, at least one. Now, admittedly, ham radio is a little bit of an esoteric thing these days, because, you know, who the hell wants to be building anything anymore? But there's one teacher in that place that had the knowledge, the know-how, the experience, the technical expertise to be able to figure out what it is or isn't. And that was the technology teacher. Why? If you are someone who is supposed to be teaching, why did you not go asking somebody who should have had some knowledge? That is the greatest sin of skepticism. That's doing it wrong. Bro, do you even skeptic? You need to find out. If you don't know what it is, you can't just jump to a conclusion. That's wrong on so many levels to us. If you don't know what the answer is, you say, I don't know what the hell I'm looking at. Who would? With 2 seconds left on the clock, there's your answer. Apparently somebody can't. This is episode 92 on the docket, Your Honor. We're all going to do lines tonight. I was going to make some kind of reference to hooker thighs, but I thought that was probably going to go over everybody's head. It didn't go through the 80s, but you know what? That's fine. Yeah. Blowing hookers, so whatever.
Hook and blow. Go over my head anytime.
Don't worry about it.
I said hooker. I can't even say it right.
Yeah, you really can't, but that's okay. Anyway.
Triggered half the internet.
Why not? Over in the Q&A, by the way, Katie, good morning, hon. And Renee, hi, thank you. And as usual, the crap crew is here and ready to believe you. So I'm getting better at that, shoehorning that sucker in there. I might as well shoehorn the Amish Wolverine reference right away and just get it over with too, right? So that's all well. I'm going to get that done. So the day was really good. We had a good time over in Toronto, the little one and I. Flo's fursuit walk was a huge success. You might find pictures eventually about it if you go hunting that down at some point or other. We had a freaking blast. And it was, I think it was upwards of 7 Celsius today. So it was a beautiful day.
Something like that.
Yeah.
It was cold walkies today.
It was cool. It was cold. But it was, for those people that end up wearing these mascot suits that have been described as walking sofas, yeah, they were in fine shape.
Yeah, that kind of torture is bliss.
Yeah, and let me tell you, the people that were riding the rail cars that we took, that was that was fun. The kids had a great time with that.
Did you go on the subway?
No, we didn't. We thought about it, but then they were like, you know what? Subway's probably not going to be real appreciative. Let's just stay overground. So that worked out fun. But
they might have given you
man spreading in those costumes is a real problem.
Yeah.
All depends on the stitching tech.
this is true. And it's amazing to get to see some of these people. And the best part, of course, is people who are coming up who are like, why are you doing this? Are you smiling?
Why not?
That was part of it. But some people, it was like, why are you doing this? Are you smiling? Well, yeah, that's why.
Yeah.
Because it's above zero and it's the Christmas season. Why the hell not?
And so if the temperature holds there for at least another week, I'm heading out east next week for work.
Oh, where are you headed to?
Burlington.
Oh, cool.
The Coke Factory?
No, I
did that in Pittsburgh on my first trip to the U.S., thank you very much. And that's an experience I would like to never, ever,
So wait, are you saying that only half of the coats were on the floor when you went there?
You know,
I've been to Burlington Coat Factory in Atlanta, and it was nice. I liked it.
I've been to one, and like 3/4 of all the product was on the floor thanks to the customers.
Yeah. And this here, actually, Heretic and Joseph might get this context, but it kind of looked like it was a 5-story Zellers.
Oh, okay.
That bad. Like,
wow.
Like Zellers just before it became Target, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Oof. Yeah, and the
you mean Target, right?
Yeah,
French. It's French.
The very same.
Yeah, if you say so.
And the only other item I need to make mention to is I love going over the border because we get to come back with such great snacks, Aero bars, mint Aero bars. Put them in the freezer, and there you go.
Just
get those toy filled chocolates.
Kinder Eggs. You
ever
have
come back
those
with a Kinder Egg?
They'll arrest you.
No, if you eat the chocolate, just bring the toy back. If you bring just the toy back, you can't get arrested.
Okay.
Keep that in one mind. Anyway, so we're going to be talking about the stuff that has inspired us, the people that have inspired us. I've got two quotes for myself. I was going to get a third, but I thought, you know what? It's good enough. Very likely somebody else is going to make mention to it. And if not, you know, I'll grab it in there. But we've got a couple of people who had chimed in over on the Facebook page. So if you would like to like the page, that'd be very cool. We're upwards at approaching, I think we're at 85. I'll double check.
86.
Oh, 86. Well, thank you. Which is really cool. We're getting close to that. 2 years in becoming an overnight success with 100 likes. It's about freaking time. But we'll get to all of those. A couple of folks have chimed in, and we'll get to those to start it off with. As usual, however, before we get to that, Heretic Woman, coming over to you, of course, Rafe Badawi, currently.
Still in prison.
And do we have any more of an update other than what we had last week?
No, I have not heard anything else. There was a petition floating around earlier today to get Prime Minister Trudeau to issue some kind of a fast-track immigration thing, but my understanding was that had already been done, so I'm not sure why that was going around, but no, he's still very much in jail.
Okay. That's... Surprisingly enough, at this point, that's actually a rather positive. So at this point, as of the recording of this episode, this is now 3 years, 5 months, 19 days since Rafe Badawi was unjustly incarcerated for thought crime. We are still waiting and hopeful for you. Come home soon. And for those of you that have made mention to it before, as far as to how many people can we possibly save... Starfish. If you go looking up a reference to starfish, you may find the story. We'll talk about that another time.
Or you may find tech comedy.
That's also possible, but we'll clear it up later. Yeah. We'll explain it all later. Don't worry. All will be known eventually.
Hail the dog cow.
So we had two people who chimed in on the Facebook page once the my unofficial announcement had gone out. And we got from Jeremiah, who is Prophet Jeremiah, I should mention. Oh. And from Randy Todd LaMonda, who I'm unfamiliar with you, but Randy, thank you. And Jeremiah, thank you also. So Jeremiah's quote is from a longtime listener and Patreon to the show, which would be... Dr. Professor Smart Guy Richard Feynman. Most of us don't call him Dick. His quote was, "The worthwhile problems are the ones you can really solve or help solve, the ones you can really contribute something to. No problem is too small or too trivial if we can really do something about it." Now, let's face it. Dr. Feynman, we've made reference to him on many occasions. Smart guy, brilliant speaker, funny, as sense of humor like nobody's business.
Horrible bongo player.
All right, that's new.
How musically disinclined do you have to be to actually suck at bongos?
Oh, dude.
Surely you must be joking, Mr. Feynman.
Well, I'm not joking. Don't call me Shirley.
Yes, don't call me Shirley.
Yeah, funny enough, I was thinking about going to try to find that, but I could completely forgotten about it, but we'll see. Surely You Must Be Joking, Mr. Feynman is a book I still want to try to read. Reading has been really, really tough on me to just sit down and do, but we'll see about that. Dr. Feynman, as a science communicator, wow, what a great choice right there. Never mind the quote itself, but choosing Dr. Feynman is a really, really good one on that one. Anybody else had a Feynman reference at this point, or is this going to be the only one for tonight?
That's not for me, unfortunately.
Well, I mean, one of the ones that comes to mind just off the top of my head is he's sitting giving a speech, you know, he's giving an interview, and he says that when understanding things, they're more interesting when they're more complex. I mean, that's a paraphrase, of course, but it's a good paraphrase. You know, the interesting things are the ones that are complex.
Yeah, and he was talking about the God of the Gaps when he said that. Instead of just saying God did it, you know, just actually having a look at it and just, you know, looking into it.
The one that I heard him on when he was talking about, like, how to explain to an alien a man's wife, she slipped, fell on the ice, and she needed to go to the hospital. You have to explain, you know, what a wife is, and, you know, why did she slip on ice, and why is ice slippery, and, you know, why does ice get slippery when it's compressed, when it's hard, and when it's cold, why does ice get, you know, why does water become ice when it gets cold, and all that, and that's when he made the point of things are more interesting, you know, when they're more complex.
Mm. I would tend to agree with that. It's, I mean, I made that a central point of one 5-minute freestyle a while ago about how wildly complicated the universe is, and it's just more complicated than any God should ever make it. But
Go on, Chris. Sorry.
Yeah. On Tech's point about the person slipping on ice. Even the simple point about why ice is slippery on there gets more complicated, and this is where I really like it, where something as simple as that, that question, suddenly, when you look into it, turns out to be more complex than people thought. And it's like long been thought that the pressure is causing the top layer of the ice to melt.
Slippery.
But
even
it turns out like the pressures in a lot of cases is not high enough to do that. So there's more stuff going on that people are still looking into, even with something as simple as that.
Yeah, well, there's the heat from the friction of the shoe and all sorts of stuff going on.
Mm. And even the human concept of fluidity is something to discuss.
So the more you cut layers into something, the more complex it gets, the more crazy.
Interesting.
I think you'll find that the mechanics of it is pretty simple. What's complex is just the difference between that and our concept of it.
Yes, and that's kind of what I was trying to get across, that how we try to communicate stuff gets wildly hairy, because language to convey concept can get really wrapped into itself really fast and tangled so many different ways.
Yeah, he actually talks about the bird. You know, he talks about how one of his friends was bragging about how he knew how to say bird in, like, a different language. And then Feynman goes back to his father and, you know, basically tells him what's going on, and his father tells him how to say it in like a dozen different languages. And then he says, now that you know all that, you know absolutely nothing about the bird. What you know about is the people who made the words to call the name by. He said, if you want to know about the bird, sit there and watch the bird.
That's a damn good point, actually.
Yeah, you learn about the cultures from their languages. You don't learn about the bird from the names that have been given to the bird. You learn about the bird by watching the damn bird.
So you're learning about other people's misconceptions.
Or their observations, even. Yeah. Because the name might be based off an observation of a person, of a particular quirk that's unique only to that species of bird.
Like the Bible calling a bat.
Like the tufted titmouse.
Yeah.
Yeah, and really, if you really want to learn about what the bird is like, just go study Da Vinci's notes. See, that's, God damn it. See, I can't do this. I'm gonna start going down a rabbit hole that is gonna just take us way the hell away from everything.
Before we go any further, what was the quote that was submitted?
The worthwhile. The worthwhile problems are the ones we can really solve or help solve, the ones you can really contribute something to. No problem is too small or too trivial if we can really do something about it. That was the one.
Yeah. And that actually meshes in with all the other stuff we've just been talking about with Feynman.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because one of the things you want to do is know about the bird. Don't find out what cultures call the bird. Go observe the bird.
And I'm going to paraphrase, but the quote that we've typically used for Feynman is, if you do an experiment and what you thought doesn't match up with the experiment, you're wrong. And you just have to get over yourself and just pull up your big girl panties and just get over it. Which, funny enough, I think that Feynman would actually appreciate that particular version of it. But
you know, if any of our viewers actually want to really know more about Feynman and the things that he said and the things, and a lot of people don't realize that Feynman was actually, he was a teacher, he was an educator, he wasn't just a physicist, okay? He actually taught, and there are many of his, there's many of his old videos, the films were digitized, and they've been put onto the internet, and they're actually free to view. So all you have to do is open up Google, the almighty Google, and do a search for Richard Feynman. And you'll get his Wikipedia page. You'll get links to video resources. I mean, you can skip all that. Go to YouTube.com and put in the search in there, and you'll get tons of his videos. It's really great stuff. You know, you'll learn something that you probably didn't know just by watching one single video.
Man, I love the 21st century. All right, the other, now, I'm not sure who to attribute it to. By the way, this one, the second one, was submitted by Randy Todd LaMonda. Now, I'm pretty sure I know who it was that is attributed to, and I do believe that the version that I have here is a paraphrased version of a quote, but...
Right, read it off. Yep. We'll figure it out.
What was submitted is the following. Religion can make people fly airplanes into buildings, but science can make people fly rockets to the moon. Now,
yeah,
I've typically
it's
heard
reversed.
Yeah, I've heard this one a couple of different ways. I've heard it in a slightly different variation several times over, and I've typically heard it referenced to Richard Dawkins. Now, the validity of all of that I find highly dubious. I may be just remembering what's been fed over to me, so I do not recall. But again, this is what I've heard, and as much as what I can remember at the moment. Now, as far as this quote is concerned, as crass as I don't want to be, I have to kind of partially agree with it, unfortunately. And I don't know.
Yeah, I'm uncomfortable with how crass that quote is.
Yep,
is a way of doing it.
I missed the quote, actually.
The actual quote is, science flies you to the moon, religion flies you into buildings.
Yeah.
I actually quite like that quote. I've seen that meme lots of times.
It was coined by Victor J. Stenger.
Yeah.
An American particle physicist, philosopher, author, and religious skeptic.
He died in August of 2014.
Yeah.
Now, the reason why I say it's crass, I use the term crass because it's a very visceral, in-your-face, no-holds-barred, stripped-down-to-nothing, bare-knuckles brawling kind of statement in a very tight package.
Yeah, it's what you would almost attribute to what they call firebrand atheism, which guys like Harris and Dawkins are infamous for.
But I'd agree with that because, I mean...
Oh, no, believe me, I...
You know, it's like, it's society's morals that are holding religious morals in check.
Yeah, so. Like, we could get into the whole thing about, you know, moderate atheism versus firebrand atheism, and is there a need for one over the other?
There's a need for all of it.
Yeah, the simple fact is this. It took somebody figuratively slapping me across the face with the Bible to wake me up.
Mm-hmm.
So, firebrand stuff, yeah, I think it's still needed, but that's not what we're talking
Absolutely.
About.
Absolutely. I've talked to more than one person that was like, yep, somebody who is a complete dick to me got me to look at what the hell I was actually believing.
Because if it can jar you out of that comfort zone and start making you ponder, the day is won.
He wrote a book that was published in 2007 called God, The Failed Hypothesis, How Science Shows That God Does Not Exist. Ooh, that's got to burn.
Yeah, let's twist the knife in a little bit deeper. Why don't we? Where's my popcorn?
So,
The Fallacy of Fine-Tuning, Why the Universe Is Not Designed for Us, 2011.
I wouldn't even go there discussing this, because you're talking their language and their terms and all this, and I mean, it's just like their God is just a prop. There's something else going on there.
Yes, but the biggest problem of it is trying to show that it's just a cardboard cutout. That's the biggest problem, because if nobody wants to move... Okay, all right,
so why talk about a cardboard cutout like it's a real thing?
Well,
in filmography, okay, in making movies, if you position let's say your quality of printer for the cardboard cutout is of such quality that when you position it just right in front of the lens, with the lens at just the right angle, and you put the person who the cardboard is printed after, life size, stands right next to it, everybody thinks they're twins. There you go.
I'm going to say, because while it is a cardboard cutout, to people viewing it from a certain perspective, it's real. And if you don't engage with the people promoting it, and if you don't provide any counter-argument, there is only one set of information out there being heard on there. So while I get what you're saying, but it is largely a prop, if not completely, on that to the people who don't see it that way, it needs to be illustrated. Yeah, this is a piece of cardboard.
That's why I make a distinction between discussion with followers and discussions with leaders, because leaders know full well what they're do. But yeah, you're right. You have to.
Yeah, the cameraman behind the camera.
You have to actually take an emotional. You have to take an emotional approach to it with followers. You can't reason with them.
Now, see,
because their belief is not a rational thing.
Okay. Now, what I was going to say was, looking at the cardboard cutout analogy in this particular case, skeptics have wildly different perspectives. We have as many perspectives on this panel as we have people. That's by design for this show. I've used that analogy before. I will look at something and I will see it one way. But even if I'm looking at an Escher painting that somebody has brought to life into a model that I can look at, and it is the ever the ever screwed up staircase where you can never find the top and you can never find the bottom.
Oh, those are fun.
But one of the others who is just slightly off from perspective from me will see it for exactly what it is. It's fooling the eye of one person who is in one specific location, viewing it at one specific angle. It makes exact sense to the person that's looking at it because it's how it's designed to look until and unless you move off to the side. That's the problem. The god cutout is designed to be looked at from one direction. Yes, there are many of them that are further away, closer to it, slightly off, but not far enough that you get outside of that cone into the doubting area that we play in now. And to me, that's why I try not to look at people who have the god belief poorly. Even the leaders, for the most part, I view them as have, and I've used this term before, you were taught wrong. Because if you can't reteach yourself to move away from that perspective and see it for what it is, you can't learn. And the ones that are the exception to that are the ones who are at the very top of those pyramid schemes. Olsen, for instance, Robertson, and so many more, but they're still the very, very tippy top of the pyramid. There's very few of them by comparison. Those are the ones that I feel are... they're dicks. Yeah, I said it. But that's kind of why I really try really hard not to be mean to people who have belief. Because if we can reteach them, even just a little bit, move them off of that one spot, maybe they can start to see what it all is. Maybe they can actually see it's a cardboard cutout with a little... maybe they can see the little wedge that's holding it up from the floor, you know, that kind of thing. Maybe they can see the black strings that are holding it up.
But they're going to look at it... you know, it's really funny because... but the perspective thing, they're going to look at it through the eyes of whoever they've entrusted. They're going to look at it through only one perspective. And your goal there is actually to get them to trust you. That's... if you don't do that, then there's no point in taking it any further.
True enough. And that's where our job as skeptics should be. To try to give just enough trust to say, look, don't believe me right out of the gate. Let me show you what I'm seeing. You come and take a look at to see what I'm looking at. And you tell me if I'm seeing it right. You tell me if I'm wrong. And I feel like that helps. Yes.
I would say, and it's not about trusting us in the way of following or believing what we say. It's about... maybe going as far as like actually look into this issue for yourself and appreciate that there are, you know, there is both more and less to this than you probably think.
Yeah.
Yep.
But don't blindly follow what anyone says. Actually, look. Yeah. Don't follow me. Yeah.
Question everything. Yeah. Even
yes.
This.
Yeah, but don't follow me, but walk with me for a little while and see what I see and then decide for yourself. We'll walk as far as the fork in the road. I will go my way. It's your choice where you go from there.
Yep. Now, we've got one that Beth just threw in the Q&A at this point. Again, thank you, hon. Also, a good quote that I... don't know if it's borrowed, but the quote is, and let's see if I remember where I remember it from, that which does not kill me makes me stronger. Now, I would normally expect that this should be attributed to Conan the Barbarian.
Yes.
The 1982?
Yes.
as I recall, yeah, but as yeah. I recall, I think, of course, I could do a quick Google search on this, but I think it was
Frederick Nietzsche. I think it was Frederick Nietzsche.
Yep.
It was Nietzsche.
Yeah.
So
that's kind of, yeah, strange, the Arnold quoting Nietzsche in his movie. There's something sort of odd about that.
I think Belisarius had a little bit more to do with it than, or not Belisarius, De Laurentiis had a little bit more to do with the quote than Schwartzy did.
Okay. I don't remember who said it in the movie.
No, it was right at the beginning before the opening credits rolled.
Okay.
Yeah, about the only thing I got from Arnold in that movie was, crush your enemy, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of the women.
Yeah, I just
another quote that was ripped off.
The only thing I remember about that movie is catching my 10-year-old nephew watching the sex scene in the middle of the night. And kind of going,
he did the sock, put that
away. Yeah.
Did you tell him to put the sock away?
Yes, and then we told him to put the video away as well.
Well, at least he had taste. He didn't find the VHS copy of Gore.
$10
I will never ever get back.
Oh.
I think I watched the first 5 minutes of it and realized I better read the book.
Yeah, you know
was
what?
It that bad?
No, the books.
Okay, let me.
The film where they.
Yeah, Joey, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I just want to try to get everybody to wrap their mind around the fact that, you know, you were talking about Conan the Barbarian. We're talking about a film here where they quoted practically Nietzsche and Genghis Khan, both, you know, without blinking. So
yeah, sure. Why not? As far as to how bad Gore was. I had read a couple of the Gore novels. I found some things that were good. I found some things that were really what?
Yeah.
I had a couple of things where it was like, okay, I don't want whatever it is that you've been smoking.
Never read the books, saw the movie. Yeah.
The books depends on which book you're reading. Some are worse, some are eh.
Yeah, we'll go as far as to say, don't spend any money on it. Don't get a VHS copy. Don't go looking for it online. If you really want to watch something that's a lot better off in many respects from about the same time frame, go find Beastmaster. Yeah, Beastmaster was a far better movie than Gore, and that says something because it's got the carpet sharks. That's why. You know what carpet sharks are?
Or you can just go, you know, pop on Netflix and watch The Adventures of Hercules or something.
Yeah, sure. On the whole Conan the Barbarian thing, I loved Terry Pratchett's take on that, Conan the Barbarian. Characters like a 85-year-old barbarian hero, and he's asked by the other barbarians, you know, they're sitting around discussing the greatest things in life, and it's the whole, you know, death of your enemies, lamentation of their women, you know, riding out across the steps to kill a dragon and things. And he turns to them and says, hot water, good dentistry, and soft lavatory paper.
Not bad. Of course, the Dewey Decimal System might do it any much further.
Yeah, but it's like any of the achievements of the modern world.
Yeah, there's a private joke right now that's going on, so that's what that's all about.
Now all of a sudden I have the saga of Bjorn going through my head.
Well, what I was going to say is, since I've got the camera on you at the moment, Joey, I'm gonna go ahead and see what all extra you want to add on a whatever quote. And we've got stuff in the Q&A. We're going to get to those in a couple of moments, but we need to get the rest of everybody else with theirs too. So where do you want to go?
My brain was in a different place and you kind of just derailed it.
Sorry. Conan?
I'll get back to you.
Okay.
Well, never mind. I'll get back to you.
Okay. Was there a quote that you had written down for yourself, or that you were going to be specifically bringing it to the table at this point then?
Well, no, not yet. I'll get back to you.
Okay, fair enough. All right. Bridget, you are infamous for sandbagging and waiting and trying to hide a lot of the times. You know what? I'm not going to let you do that tonight. What have you got that you wanted to bring off?
Well, I have one by Stephen Jay Gould. Oh. We passed through this world but once. That one is short and sweet. And there was another one that I have that actually comes from a song called Faithless. And it says, I don't have faith in faith. I don't believe in belief. You can call me faithless. But I still cling to hope. And I believe in love. And that's faith enough for me.
Not bad.
Very cool.
I like them both.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Who else? Get one other person. You know what, Joseph?
Yes.
I'm going to throw it your way and see what quotes you wanted to throw in there, and then we'll get over to Katie.
I've got one from Stephen King, actually.
This should be novel.
Yeah. Pride is the belt that holds your pants up long after your pants are gone.
Yeah, you know, for some couples, that's kinky.
Mm. Oh, and my granddad. Yeah, the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Yeah, that's an old one.
Yeah,
that's an oldie.
I know. That's my granddad's 98 this year, so.
Well, you know what? Ow. In that case, congratulations, granddad.
Mm.
I can see his birthday cake every year. Congratulations, you lived another year.
Yeah.
Well, after a certain point, yeah, you got to look at it and go, you know what? I'm going to shoot for another one. And as far as I'm concerned, 98, I call that a good start right there. So good on you there. So Katie has gone ahead and give us one over here and even gave attribution. That's the right word. Yeah, that's the right word for it. Quote is, courage does not always roar. Sometimes courage is a quiet voice at the end of the day that says, I will try again tomorrow. This one credited to Anne Rademacher?
Sounds right.
I believe that's how it's pronounced. That's a really good one. Joey, were you trying to get my attention? I didn't quite see it. Thought you were. Oh, you were just showing off the drink. Sorry. You're muted. Fine, that's the way it's supposed to be. So,
be a good thing. It looked like he was yelling at you.
It's okay.
Do it in mime.
That's mime. No. That does not work.
He only knows one mime gesture, Joseph, and when you see it, you'd be glad there's actually a podcast version of this.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the fun part.
Yeah, see, now, for me, the funny part about this quote is I'm looking at it, and before I read the attribution on it, I thought that something like that could very easily have been attributed to Mufasa, stupid as enough it might sound. I mean, he was one who basically said, you know, sometimes courage is just being scared and doing what you got to do anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. If I mean, I'm paraphrasing highly, but it's not too far from it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good one as far as I'm concerned, Katie. Good,
yeah.
Good call. I know nothing about Annie, Schlegelhoff, and I don't care. So, again, cool one. And Renee's got one. We'll get to you in a couple of moments. I've got my two, but again, I'm going to kind of wait a little bit more. I'll throw one out in a moment. Who else wants to throw out at this point?
I
have a couple. Okay, no. Three.
Ladies first.
All right. And this one goes for Dune as well, because I know for a fact that this is one that she really likes. And this is from Dune, the book. And it is, I must not fear. Fear is the mind killer. Fear is the little death that brings total obliteration. I will face my fear. I will permit it to pass over and through me. And when it has gone past, I will turn the inner eye to see its path. Where the fear has gone, there will be nothing. Only I will remain.
Yep. Paul Atreides. You're in the box of
yes.
pain.
Yes, and I have another one as well, and this one's actually, if you go digging through the About Me on my Facebook, you'll find this one, and it says, I raise up my voice, I raise up my voice, not so that I can shout, but so that those without a voice can be heard. We cannot succeed when half of us are held back. Want to guess who that was?
I can tell you that it wasn't George W. Bush.
No. That was a good one. No, that was Malala.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
But isn't yes. shouting out everybody else drowning them out as well?
Well, hold on.
That's why she says, not so I can shout.
But she yes. is shouting.
Okay, yes.
But see, it becomes a question of what are you shouting? If you are lending your strength to someone else's voice, someone that's otherwise not being heard because you can hear them and they can't be heard by others, that's a good strong point right there to me.
The only thing I could shout that would allow somebody to do that is shut up, let them talk.
And sometimes that's needed.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's a lot better than you shouting, have you practiced your guitar today? It's just a thing.
Yeah.
Don't need to shout. The guitar speaks for me.
Yes, it does.
No.
Is the answer? I'm going to say every rock star ever.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Dallin, go ahead. What were the ones that you had at this point?
Okay. So the first one, call it a trope, call it cliche, call it what you will, but it's from Carl Sagan. That being, extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence.
Mm-hmm.
That one has been kind of a standby for me for the longest time. The second one comes from a song by Kid Rock called Cocky. This is before he kind of got into his whole country whatever roots, back when he was a rapper. It's from the chorus. It goes, they say I'm cocky, and I say, what? It ain't bragging. Word redacted because this is not a Power 10 show. If you back it up. That's what I've always said. Like, make whatever claim you want. If you can prove it, I'll listen.
Mm-hmm.
And my third one comes from every single Missouri license plate I've ever seen. Show me.
Oh, yeah.
Really? Is that their... That's
the,
their
show me, the show me state. Yeah.
I'm not entirely sure where that comes from, but apparently it's as...
Or what they want to be shown. I'm not sure.
I mean, that goes... I believe that actually goes back as far as like the times of the Wild West. At least if Clint Eastwood is to be believed, I don't know, but...
Or that could be taken all sorts of wrong, but anyways.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, show me, prove it. If you're gonna say something like that, like, show me that. Prove to me you're right.
I like Aaron Ra's take on that. If you can't show it, you don't know it.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. That's a good one. Okay, so Renee has also gone ahead and given us one in the Q&A. Attributed to Voltaire, those who can make you believe absurdities can make you commit atrocities. And we've heard this one repeated in various different forms and saying the same damn thing. And that is a chilling truth.
That actually kind of leads into my quote from Steven Weinberg.
Okay, take it.
You guys will recognize this one as soon as you hear it. I want to make sure I get the quote Exactly. So hold on a second here. And I should have done this earlier, but it's right here. Religion is an insult to human dignity. With or without it, you have good people doing good things and evil people doing evil things. But for good people to do evil things, that takes religion.
Yep.
Yeah, we've heard that one. We've heard that one a couple of different ways over also. And again, the idea that people can be manipulated, I don't want to say easily, but can be manipulated to such a degree is a chilling idea. That really bothers the hell out of me.
It all comes down to our relying on somebody else's point of view instead of our own. That's what's disturbing for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's...
You tried.
Yeah, there's so many times we referred to.
Yeah, on that one, and I'd say it doesn't just take religion, but it's something very like it. On there, that's... As I've said before, I got into the atheism thing through skepticism.
It goes beyond religion.
Yeah, and
it's a common point between several
particular bugbears of mine are things like quack alternative medicine, whereas where you often get someone who is well-meaning but completely misinformed on there, giving people magic potions instead of real medicine, and the person dies, you know, or spends a lot of unnecessary time in pain.
Mm-hmm.
On there, there are so many horrifying stories out there, yet the people doing this are well-meaning and truly believe that they're doing good.
Keep in mind, the guy that invented gunpowder was actually trying to make a elixir for immortality. Just so happened,
really,
achieved quite the opposite.
Well, no, don't forget, Hitler was just trying to help out his people in the name of God.
Well, wait a minute, wait.
Whoa.
Now we're crossing into an area we're not going to get in.
Let's not get in.
Somebody had to drop the Hitler bomb, you know.
Let's not get in there. Plus, you know, don't pick on Hitler too much. After all, he did kill Hitler.
That's true.
He did. No,
you got to give Hitler that. He did kill Hitler.
Yes. All right. Now,
the entire world tried and couldn't do it, and he did it himself.
Yeah, he did it all by himself. One man.
One lone gunman in the grassy knoll. What I was going to say, though, was that as far as the...
Done right, do it yourself.
As far as the gunpowder thing is concerned, if he was looking for immortality, if you consider that people, after using gunpowder to a certain degree, will no longer age any longer, I would say that would be a resounding success with a bang, don't you?
Well, immortality and not aging are not quite the same thing.
We're really splitting hairs here. Like,
well, the body does continue to age, whether or not it's, you know...
Fingernails and hair do grow after death.
Ooh. No, they don't.
No, they don't.
Oh, no, I've been debunked. Ah!
That is actually...
Without receding skin.
It's the skin drying out and tightening that gives the appearance of things like teeth and nails and hair continuing to grow outward.
Yes.
So if you want longer fingernails, stop drinking water.
Or you can go to the nail salon like I do.
You know, I think option two there in that case would be probably a little bit better for you. Maybe not so much for the wallet, but for everything else.
See, now that I had actually put mine to the grindstone and was thinking on things, I've got a couple of quotes that I've yeah, I was trying to focus on quotes that I myself have used, you know, as...
Like, guns don't kill people, you do?
Well, actually,
but do you
in
have
a way.
Thing?
Now, this one's going to seem silly.
Oh.
This one's going to seem silly, but oddly enough, there's a quote from one of Stephen King's novels. I think I've brought up the Dark Tower series before.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, what? Yeah, that's the best series.
The first ones.
And something that I read, you know, I don't know how I ended up getting a hold of one of these books as a child, but I actually did read it as a child, which I probably shouldn't have explained so very much. But, you know, one thing stuck in my head is, you know, the gunslinger's creed. I do not aim with my hand. He who aims with his hand has forgotten the face of his father. I aim with my eye. I do not shoot with my hand. He who shoots with his hand has forgotten the face of his father. I shoot with my mind. I do not kill with my gun. He who kills with his gun has forgotten the face of his father. I kill with my heart.
Mm. Mm. I will admit to not having any knowledge of this particular quote whatsoever. Then again, I've not read the particular series that you're referring to either, so that's an interesting one.
It's a great series.
For quotes for me, as far as, you know, life in general, now that one obviously tied in a lot for me when I was in the military, but kind of different for me now. There are a few quotes that have stuck with me for a long time, though. Quite a few from our good old friend Teddy Roosevelt over there hosting for ERB.
I think I can guess what one of them might be.
No, not that.
Oh.
Actual quotes. Believe you can and you're halfway there. Do what you can, where you are, with what you have.
Yeah, I live that one a lot, as it is.
I was going to bring up the starfish thing, but since you already kind of hammered that into everybody's brains, I'm going to...
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
But, you know, Henry
Ford... I'm sorry,
Ford.
To me, starfish is an insult, but that I work in tech support, so...
Yeah.
Henry Ford, when everything seems to be going against you, remember that planes take off against the wind, not with it.
That's... Wow.
So guys, go fly.
And the one that has really driven for me a lot, and I thank my mother for this one, oddly enough, comes from Confucius. Hmm. Everything has beauty, but not everyone can see.
Ooh.
Yeah, nice.
Didn't Confucius also say virginity like bubble, one prick, all gone?
Corner.
Yeah. You open it now.
And of course,
I like how Bridget's rearranged her office because now she's permanently in a corner.
Awesome. But she's got a window seat, it looks like. So,
I've got a couple of other good ones that, you know, make just as much sense. I mean, Vincent van Gogh, I would rather die of passion than of boredom.
Yes.
And the one that I love to throw at a lot of people that, you can't make fun of me, I'm above being made fun of. Yeah, you probably kind of get an idea of who I'm pointing that one at. to which I can only I can only reference Aristotle on that one. There's only one way to avoid criticism: do nothing, say nothing, and be nothing.
Mm. And they'll still criticize you for it.
Awesome.
Hey, don't argue with the Greeks.
That was a good one, though.
What about, have you guys ever come up with something that's quotable?
I don't know, but the subject of death was mentioned, and I've got three cheerful ones on that. The first is Mark Twain's, at least attributed to him, of I've been dead for many years before I was born and not suffered the least inconvenience because of it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Another one on its similar vein was by a British comedian, Spike Milligan, was, "I'm not afraid of dying, I just don't want to be there when it happens."
Okay, for the record, by the way, for the record, that one was stolen at one, I believe it was stolen. It depends on who had it first. I would agree that probably Spike had it first, but it was stolen by Woody Allen, who supposedly used it on many an occasion himself. So nice to know that the jokes make their rounds.
And the third on that one was from Catch 22, from Yossarian. I'm going to live forever or die in the attempt.
Yep. I've kind of stolen that one and said that I'm going to live forever or die trying.
Mm. Yeah.
Which I may have stolen that one from someone else, at least that wording. I've got three that I'm only going to give two at this point, because I think I want to use the larger, the largest one that I've got for my closing. All right, I'm actually going to make it four. Let's see. Well, that's easy to remember. 0118999888119972533. Some people are going to have a really good laugh at that one a little bit later. So, Dog Cow, I'm thinking of you. So, you're welcome on that. Anyway, in seriousness.
To the Dog Cow.
Yes. In all seriousness, the ones that I had. The one that I wasn't going to use, but I need to use it, because I just had somebody ping me over on Skype that would grandly appreciate. "I like you just the way you are."
Rogers.
Fred McFeely Rogers. Mm-hmm. And from 1996, from the TV show Babylon 5, from the episode "A Late Delivery from Avalon," as said by Marcus Cole. And before I read it off, I'm going to also say that I used this quote during my wife's wake, and I saw my youngest brother at first scoff at it until I explained. And I can understand that, you know, a science fiction show, why would you talk about your recently dead wife using a quote from a TV show? I mean, what the hell? The quote is the following. "I used to think it was awful that life was so unfair. Then I thought, wouldn't it be much worse if life were fair? And all the terrible things that happen to us come because we actually deserve them. So now I take great comfort in the general hostility and unfairness of the universe."
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
It carried me through a lot of days, because cancer is one of those things where there's typically no rhyme or reason. Some people get lung cancer from having no cigarettes. Some will have smoked three packs a day for 50 years and find fit as a fiddle. It drives people up a wall. My mother famously has said, "Oh, my doctor saw me, and I've got the strongest lungs. I've got the lungs of an 18-year-old, and here I am. I'm fast approaching years old." So, you know what, Ma? That's nice. I've been trying to tell you to quit since I was 8. But, you know, whatever. But
giving me that stink eye over there.
No. like I said, the big quote I'm gonna wait and use as my closing, assuming that nobody else steps on it. But no, I'm not gonna give it away.
Oh, Shijin, reminds me of another Spike Milligan one. I have the body of an 18-year-old. I keep it in the fridge.
Oh God. I do have a heart. I keep it in a jar on the bookshelf. Yes.
Yeah.
Various versions of it. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Or the other version I've heard of. You know, I've got the body of an 18-year-old, but don't tell the police.
Yeah.
Are these quotes from Jeffrey Dahmer or something?
They could be. They could be. But another one that Renee had thrown over in Q&A, attributed to Christopher Hitchens, which. We miss you, Hitch. Take the risk of thinking for yourself. Much more happiness, truth, beauty, and wisdom will come to you that way. Wow, ain't that the truth? It's a tough thing to be able to stick to your guns like that, though. Especially in the face of what so many other people think or say or will treat you because of the way that you look at stuff. I mean, shit, look at us. I mean, we of the, 15% minority, maybe? And, you know, people say, what the hell is wrong with you? Let me do my thing. Why are you having a war on what I do? You know what?
Yeah, it's like we're 15% of how many millions of people. The only way I can think of them actually seeing us as a threat is that we actually are a threat and they know it.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Anything that is not that religion is a threat to that religion.
Yeah,
that's a good that's point. My quote.
When you have a non-rational position, when you have no rational reason for your authority or control over other people or whatever, even the money you make, what other argument do you have then?
Yeah, Joey, go ahead, because I got something I want to follow that up with after you.
Well, there's one that I've pitched in here a couple times now and then, and it just the same way that we miss Hitch, we miss George just as much, and
yep.
I've quoted George more than a few times on here, and I know this isn't a Power of 10 show, but what the hell?
We miss you, George.
Have at it.
Most people seem indoctrinated to believe that bullshit only comes from certain sources. Advertising, politics, salesmen, not true. Bullshit is everywhere. Bullshit is rampant. Parents are full of shit. Teachers are full of shit. Clergymen are full of shit. And law enforcement people are full of shit. Children have to be told that there's bullshit coming down the road. They have to be warned that life is about detecting bullshit and fending it off as best you can.
Ain't that the truth? What I was going to follow up with what Joseph had just said, when you have a position that has no validity, anything, even something with as little validity, is a threat. I mean, if anything can be moved aside, just be by breathing on it. You know what? Deserves to be moved aside. And now, well, damn it! Oh God! Now I'm paraphrasing accidentally. There was some quote or other about if something can be dismissed for lack of evidence, it must be dismissed.
Hitchens, yeah.
Affirmation. Be asserted without evidence can be dismissed without evidence.
No. Not can be. There was one that was specifically
should be.
Yeah.
Must be. Yeah.
It must be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what the hell exactly it was, but close enough for the moment.
I've got a good one. You guys ever hear the comedian Anthony Jeselnik?
No.
Okay. Guys, potty mouth. And he has some really dark humor. Beyond gallows humor. But the guy makes some really good points. And one of the ones I'm going to do is actually not potty mouth. And at one point, he said, "I'm not a religious person. I would call myself an atheist. I don't have a good story behind it. I'm just reasonable."
Nice.
There you go. Yep. Beth has also thrown one in the Q&A. It's a slightly different variation of one that would typically be from Feynman. This one attributed to Barbara.
Ehrenreich.
Sure. I'm glad there wasn't the word third in there somewhere. If you have a result that doesn't fit your theory, that falls way off the curve in your graph, I'm sorry, you don't get to erase that. You have to figure out what's going on. And this one apparently was listed in Time magazine last year in April. And that makes a lot of sense, and that's something that kind of crosses over into the question of ethics.
Yeah.
Because it's we talked about ethics on many an occasion. If you've got information that you're trying to explain and something comes up that's not part of that normally, you need to figure out exactly what the hell is going on with that. You need to explain why your explanation isn't showing up correctly. I mean, neutrinos flying faster than the speed of light, something's... that don't fit with what we normally expect. You got to explain why you got that wrong or right, most appropriately.
I question the speed of light.
Well, see, that's the funny part. Okay, we're going to take a little bunny hole for a second. Little one.
Bunny hole.
Shut up. I'm still working on last week's show. But we have had scientists who have said, okay, why is the speed of light the speed of light? Why is it that constant? And they have actually been investigating deeper and deeper into the fabric of the universe as we know it to understand why is the speed of light what it is? Why is light interacting with what we know of the fabric of the universe, if you'll pardon the expression? That's another one of those things where, you know, you need to explain why your answer makes sense. And we actually got people who've been working on that because it don't make sense that works and we don't get it. But
the common concept is that nothing can travel faster than the speed of light. And they're actually Beth's quote is actually quite relevant to that, because they're trying to make everything fit that law, but nothing can travel, well, speed of light is a constant, but only as itself as a frame of reference.
There is that, yeah. But the thing of it was they were trying to figure out why should it be like that. And that's the why question, pain in the ass to deal with, because don't know.
Yeah, you don't want to start that with me.
The why questions and the how questions and all these questions are really cool. It's like when we discovered, when we're trying to find, if I remember correctly, we were trying to find a way to better discover black holes. And because of it, through some process or another, I'm not my astronomy is very, very limited. They ended up coming across what we call Wi-Fi.
What?
In attempts for black hole studies, they ended up coming across the technology for Wi-Fi signals that you use in your house.
What? Really?
It was in Wikipedia.
I don't know that that's necessarily correct. At least not the way that.
No. It's not.
Why? Right. The radio.
The foundational work. All right. Something leads to something leads to something leads to something leads to something.
Right.
Right. So their groundwork in working with technologies and trying to find different means of studying things, astrological objects out in outer space, specifically the hunt for black holes. led ultimately through some one little step here, one little step there, maybe one twist of an antenna here, one twist of an antenna there, to the technology that we today now know as Wi-Fi technology.
Yeah, I don't see the... It's like somebody leaving a coffee cup on the table somewhere while you're looking for... Oh, whatever. Sorry.
Yeah, that's one I'm highly unfamiliar with, and I've got a conflicting information in my head anyway. So I'm not gonna go on that one at the moment. We can go digging that out later.
The radio astronomers. It was dealing with the radio astronomers.
Wi-Fi is just a protocol. Anyways.
Yeah, they developed a key patent used.
Radio waves.
That's used now in Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
It was a failed experiment to detect exploding mini black holes the size of an atomic particle.
Talking about a wavelength here.
But that's the thing. The method that they used is later became embedded in our Wi-Fi technology.
I think that sounds...
What I'm saying is that when we ask questions, when we try to find out things, they lead to maybe not the answer we're looking for, but other things, other really cool stuff.
That's... Okay. Okay.
That's the point I'm trying to make here is that by asking the questions, we open up potential doors into other avenues as well. I mean, we now can communicate with our phones, video communications with people on the other side of the planet, thanks to the work of astronomers, radio astronomy, the physicists, NASA, you name it, all of them put together. That's the reason why we have this.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And we've done exactly that. Chris, you were going to say?
I was going to support Zach on that. As I said, there's been so many cases where research has been done for the purpose at the time, just for understanding the universe and how it works, or understanding a particular phenomenon and how it works, and then the technology developed to do that, or the mathematics or the techniques have then turned out totally unexpectedly to be used for something else, and in some few cases it's been commercially wonderful and people have made ridiculous amounts of money out of it.
Isn't Post-its like that?
Velcro, Tang, although the astronauts couldn't take it because they found out, oh, powder, bad idea. Microelectronics don't work.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah,
Electronics
in general, it wasn't microelectronics.
Yeah, I thought Post-its were invented for a completely different purpose. Or at least the adhesive, maybe.
Or how about look at the memory foam? Yeah. You look at the average American household, and they've got some form of it now. Whether it's stuffed inside of a pillow, whether it's a little tiny thin layer they stick on top of their bed, or whether their whole entire mattress is made out of this stuff. You know, maybe they're playing Dungeons and Dragons like I do, and they have the foam embedded in cases so their little miniatures don't get banged up when they, you know, move the case around.
There's a story that goes along with a quote that I think kind of really sits into all of this, and I need to kind of set it up. Teflon. Well, we'll leave Reagan out of this for a second. The what had happened was, apparently, if I'm remembering it correctly, it was Mr. Faraday who had taken a magnet and ran it through a coil of wire and saw that the compass needle that was laying with it was deflected, it was moved. And he showed this off to some people. And it eventually turned into using enough wire and a strong enough magnet was able to generate a spark. Now, I may be misremembering some pieces of this, but I think I've got the most important part of it. One person asked him, basically, Mr. Faraday, what is this good for? I don't know. And it's become the basis of electromagnetism, electromagnetic theory, and the power systems that we utilize for virtually everything these days, from a computer to a car to the cameras that we're using now, to the
little tiny vibration motor in your cell phone when you mute it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to everything that has power going through it at this point.
Yeah,
it was just because he tried something out, and he's like, I don't know what it's good for. Let's find out. Let's let other people figure that out. I just found it. That's all. I love that. I love that about science. But we got, again, another one come through from Beth. Also a good one. No idea who it's attributed to. It may simply be anonymous.
I know Foda has that pinned on his Twitter. I'm not sure if he originated it, but he uses it a lot.
No, wait, is that the one where he says go F yourself? Because that's not original.
No, not the go F yourself, no.
Okay.
Yeah, but...
Although I do like his finger up button that he has for Facebook.
Profile picture right now, yeah.
Yeah, but the quote in this particular case is, absence of evidence is not evidence of absence, except when the evidence should be there, but isn't. Now, I don't know who that's attributed to. That could very easily be Dr. Tyson at this point.
Actually, I've got the last one.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
It's Carl Sagan again.
Okay.
Wow. Okay, so that's two for him, two for Feynman. So that's a good set of numbers there. Since we're getting call about 25 minutes or so still left officially on the clock, who else has got a couple of others?
I got some.
All right, Heretic Woman, let me get you all to have another one. We'll kind of roll around a couple times.
All right, this can also be found in the About Me section of my Facebook, and you Shujin and Dallin might recognize it, but horrifying, Dr. Baron. Your report describes how rational these people are. A millennia ago, they abandoned their belief in the supernatural. Now you are asking me to sabotage that achievement, to send them back into the dark ages of superstition and ignorance and fear? No.
Oh, absolutely. Dallin, you recognize it.
I do recognize it too, but I...
Jean-Luc Picard.
Yes.
Star Trek.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jean-Luc Picard.
And so quotable on many an occasion.
Who watches the Watchers?
Yep. You know what? I'll back that one up with. It hurts because it was such a bad movie. What does God need with a starship?
Yes.
It's a brilliant moment with so few words that conveys such an amount of...
What the best part was the lead-up into it. The best part was the lead-up to it, where William Shatner is going, excuse me?
Yeah.
It's just like, oof. Move on.
It's like, it could have been really Star Trek snark-infested waters.
I have one that Shujin might appreciate. A life is like a garden. Perfect moments can be had, but not preserved, except in memory. And that was Leonard Nimoy's last tweet.
Yes.
If we're doing Star Trek, this is one from Next Generation episode called The Drumhead. Deals with witch hunting, and so Heretic Woman probably already knows where I'm going. With the first link, the chain is forged. The first speech censored, the first thought forbidden, the first freedom denied, changes us all irrevocably. Changes us all irrevocably, and this is has been brought back earlier with people and groups that think their viewpoints should be above criticism and people shouldn't be allowed to question an idea. No, everything should be open to question.
You guys are bringing up all of these, and now all of a sudden I just have that one in my head.
Yeah.
Don't believe everything you read on the internet just because there's a picture with a quote next to it. Abraham Lincoln.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That is a good one.
Where I was going was from something called Hanlon's Razor. But the version I like best is attributed to someone called Jane West, who I'm not sure who that is. But it's, let us not attribute to malice and cruelty what may be referred to less criminal motives. Do we not often afflict others undesignedly from mere carelessness, neglect, or to really distress? But the short version is... never attribute to malice which is adequate that which is adequately explained by stupidity.
Yep.
And so many people are apt to jump in for some huge malicious conspiracy to explain an event where simple error or mistake, you know, more than adequately covers it.
Yeah, there's also another Jean-Luc Picard quote that I think was a beautiful moment. Also in a court of law, I forget exactly where it was or whatever. I think it was that they were trying to figure out if Data qualified as for personhood.
The measure of a man.
And he gets done with his last piece of the trial. And he quietly leans over to the person that's presiding as the judge, someone he knew from before, and quietly says, "You always wanted to have your opportunity to make law. Here's your chance. Make it a good one."
Yep.
And just left it in her hands, knowing full well the type of person that she was and the strength and validity of his point. God, how nice to be able to just... not even think about it as just mic drop moment. Just here it is on a platter. Dig in.
Yep.
I think that's a beautiful moment, personally.
Absolutely.
I have two from Isaac Asimov.
Oh, yeah. We need more in his corner now.
I'm a big Isaac Asimov fan. All right. The first one is, creationists make it sound as though a theory is something you dreamt up after being drunk all night.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they right, do.
And the second one's the real eye-opener. The saddest aspect of life right now is that science gathers knowledge faster than society gathers wisdom.
Yeah, and sadly enough, that sentiment has been going on from time immemorial, I think. So right, I don't know how
the thing
much
is if you look
is.
At the curve of since time since humanity's been keeping records of technological innovation and how far it peaks and how quickly it's been peaking, it's going fast, and it's moving faster as we make newer and newer discoveries. I mean, we did the whole thing with the Higgs boson. We're starting up the collider again. I mean, we may end up making a discovery that gives us quantum communication, so literally instantaneous communications with excellent encryption, you know, with virtually no distance limitation that we could make up. And now we've got people on the moon or Mars or whatever with no time lag, you know. That would be incredible. Our satellites out by the sun and other aspects of our solar system giving us real-time, instantaneous data. How would that change society?
It would
be immeasurable.
Damn it, I'm trying to remember what it was. I was just going to say.
Or more importantly, the society that gets it first.
I counter your point that we are learning more than what we can master. I contend instead that it's simply a wider and wider and wider gap that will never close. My point would be this. we have, I don't like to use current events, but I will for this moment. We have mass shootings happening virtually every day here in the United States. It's not an item that I'm proud of, not by a long shot. We are arguing about how to deal with slug throwers. When was the first rock thrown as a weapon? All that's changed is the technology, not the wisdom. It's just a wider and wider gap that can never be closed, as far as I can see. Just a thought.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a sad one right there. We got a couple more moments. So Beth had also back thrown in there. I must not fear. Fear is the mind killer. We did bring that one before.
She actually had popped out to get her dinner when I said that, so she didn't know I said that for her.
There you go. Good on you that was actually one that, you know, just cross-pollinated, I guess, is the best way. Since we got a couple more moments, and my quote is long enough to clear us out with, any last ones that anybody wants to throw out there as... For whatever reason, uplifting, upbeat, hopeful.
I am the walrus, cuckoo, ka-choo.
Good.
I had one. I was actually trying to find a transcript of it because it's from a spoken word album from 2003 by former punk singer Henry Rollins. And you can find the track. It's from his album called Nights Behind the Tree Line.
Yeah.
It's a track called Music Boy. And what it is, it's him talking to the rock star that he's either going out and getting started or minute 16 has ticked over from his 15 minutes of fame. And to me, that's the one I use that one a lot when things were not looking so good for me. And I think it would actually be a good thing for people like us to listen to when, you know, you get up in the morning, you look on YouTube or you look on Facebook, and you realize that no matter how hard you're fighting, it doesn't feel like anything's being changed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some days you get that. And I mean, a lot of people on this panel would probably feel it a lot more than I do because a lot of you are a lot more involved than I am. But the last line of the track, get the fat off your ass, get mad at the pain, and get out there. It's basically pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and, you know, round two.
I got to join the gym again now.
You and me both.
Yeah,
that's what that means. Yeah.
Well, look, the last time I had an extended stint at the gym, after 6 months, I wound up in the hospital getting surgeries.
That's good. Call me a little traumatized. Damn you,
and then you met
last
Paul.
Time I had an extended stint at the gym, some girl grabbed my ass, and it was, I don't know.
I was going to say, what was that a good thing or a bad thing?
I was going to say, where is the,
where's the downside?
I like you very much right now, Dallin.
What is that?
Because now I've got it in my head now. All I know is, first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
It's not a bad quote.
Yeah. Yeah.
Except now I have Twisted Sister in my head.
Oh, no, no, no.
Wait, now I've got the guy from the freaking movie Animal House going, is that a Twisted Sister album?
Actually, Heretic Woman, go ahead. I mean, drop that one out there.
Well, it's the tech was singing it. I'm not going to sing it.
No, don't.
The old "We're Not Going to Take It" song.
Sure.
This is Sister. Yeah.
Are you Joseph?
I've got a quote. Don't be distracted by your expectations.
Ooh.
That's an
interesting
one.
Cool. Yeah. Chris?
Oscar Wilde here. We're all in the gutter, but some of us are looking at the stars.
Ooh. You guys come up with some good ones. I like some of these. Bridge.
That's a quote.
Last closing, something upbeat, any last quote that you want to throw in there?
Sure. I will steal one from Neil deGrasse Tyson. We are all connected to each other biologically, to the Earth chemically, to the rest of the universe atomically.
That is a good one right there. I love that one. He's so good at that.
I want to point out that, you know, there's one thing, deGrasse, Neil deGrasse Tyson, in French, deGrasse means from fat. Just wanted to put that out there.
Well, he's a bit of a chubby guy. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
He just happens to like his waffles.
Trust me, if there's one thing that he's done as far as Pluto's concerned, there's no waffling involved on this one whatsoever. He's put his
okay, you obviously have. Obviously, you have not seen that Photoshop then.
Yeah.
Somebody took a photo of him in a t-shirt with the sleeves ripped off in his kitchen, just, you know, pouring batter onto the waffle iron, and they went ahead and Photoshopped it so that instead it's him floating in the cosmos, and it looks like he's like adding to the Earth, and, you know, he's moving the moon over, and it's just fun.
Fair enough.
Yeah, and I apologize for pointing that out. That was just my brain said to say that. So
nothing wrong with that. did I hit everybody? I thought that I did.
No.
Okay.
I have just one that I'd like to close with.
Sure.
You could probably guess who it is. Okay, here's an idea. You love them like I loved you, and make sure you take care of them and don't judge them. But Jesus, what if they're gay or worship other gods? Did I stutter?
Actually, I've got one
get
more.
Get that through your heads.
Yeah, you're talking about something for uplifting. Here's one I just found.
Oh.
And let me get through it to the end so that you understand the context. I can't believe I just said context. Oh, I'm sounding like an apologist. I apologize.
No, but
actually, the good part of it
context
is...
context is everything.
Yeah, what you're saying right now makes me feel very confident that you're not going to be stepping on what I'm going to do.
Oh, so. No, I can guarantee you. You're here. For the audio listeners, I'm pointing center screen. I'm over here. I'm pointing to the wall of my office.
Okay.
All right. Oh, should I read this in the accent? No, I won't.
No. Yes.
No.
Would that be very politically correct?
Yes.
You know what?
Just go on.
In the evolution of consciousness, if I can find the experiencer in the midst of every experience and get in touch with that experience, I've discovered that the original experiencer is just a silent witness that never changes. Consciousness is the field of all possibilities that subsequently manifests as space-time events, and I am the field. Quoted from Deepak, I have no idea what I just said, Chopra.
I was going to say, whoa, where's the dressing?
Actually,
people see things.
No, honestly, God. Okay, please allow me to pull back the curtain on this one. I got this from the Friendly Atheist about study shows that people find fake Deepak Chopra quotations.
I was gonna say that sounds a lot like going around.
I just,
the master of the word salad.
Yeah, I needed to break out that accent just once.
No, it was actually better with the accent. Because as soon as you said it with consciousness, I was like, hello, Chopra.
Yep. Yep. Well
and
done.
And pass the dressing.
We are so getting a flag for that one.
You know what? I'll take it.
Pass the dressing.
I'll take it. All right. We need to...
Can I quote myself before you go then? And I have often said that when dealing with purveyors of word salad, one must always use Caesar dressing because they all think they're emperors.
Oh, good one.
Thank you.
I thought it was going to be something about needing a knife when all is said and done, but okay, sure.
Well, okay, that's after the dressing.
I have one to close with.
Eto brute.
Yeah.
Deborah, I preemptively outdid you.
Oh.
Okay. Tech.
You didn't ask me what my quote was from.
No. What was it from?
Me. Is that pretentious?
Just
no.
A little bit. Just a little bit. Tech, go ahead and finish yours, and I'll go ahead and close this out.
Okay. Hot candle wax is excellent for sensation play. However, not all candles are created equal.
I can vouch for that, actually.
Can't be coming up with some nasty burns if you use candles.
What? I can.
Considering what I've got, yeah, thanks. Nice. Thanks. So,
you're welcome.
It's hard to quote Mr. Rogers after that.
No, not.
That was from Mr. Rogers.
The secret.
That was the After Hours edition.
For the record over there.
Mr. Rogers said Pee Wee Herman.
After he sent the trolley home.
Go home, trolley, you're drunk.
Pee Wee Herman. This is crack.
Now pull up your pants.
Yeah. For the record,
what are you talking about?
I don't know these people.
All right.
How did I get into this hangout again?
You were invited, and you willingly accepted.
Must add to the block list.
Must drink more alcohol.
And for the quote, it only hurts the first time.
I can vouch for that, too.
Not if you're using candles.
Okay. Let me get done. Because your people are not helping me at all here. So, my closing quote for it all is, I guess, going to finish us off with a winner, I guess you could say, as far as to who gets quoted the most often. And even though I don't have any background music, I'm sure some of us can remember it. Stop. Tech, I will mute your ass at this point, and I'm not kidding. From this distant vantage point, the Earth might not seem of any particular interest, but for us it's different. Consider again that dot that's here. That's home. That's us. On it, everyone you love, everyone you know, everyone you ever heard of, every human being whoever was, lived out their lives. The aggregate of our joy and suffering, thousands of confident religions, ideologies, and economic doctrines. Every hunter and forager, every hero and coward, every creator and destroyer of civilization, every king and peasant, every young couple in love, every mother and father, hopeful child, inventor and explorer, every teacher of morals, every corrupt politician, every superstar, every supreme leader, every saint and sinner in the history of our species, lived there on a mote of dust suspended in a sunbeam. The incomparable and much missed Carl Sagan. As always, everyone, thank you very much for your time in being with us. We hope that you have found our perspectives worthwhile and have found something worthwhile in all of our points. I apologize for my uncharacteristic outburst. It is very unusual for me to do that, and I do apologize to you all.
What outburst?
When I was humming?
A little bit, yeah.
Don't worry about it, man. I didn't take it personally.
That was justified.
I try really hard to be the host that I would always have wanted to deal with. So
you're just doing your job.
Yep.
Thank you.
Somebody's got to herd these cats in.
And considering the day I had today, you have no idea. I'll just go on record as saying I happen to have found a reindeer that was really cute today. So, yeah. Mm. As always, everyone, thank you very much for your time, for being with me today. Joseph, have a very good morning, and thank you as always.
You too, sir.
Plug.
Oh, yes. Atheist Apocalypse at atheistapocalypse.com.
Ooh, he remembered the URL. Woo.
Yeah,
and I think we have an episode coming out this week.
Oh, I'm not in it, so.
Well.
One of these days. Chris, as always, thank you very kindly. You have anything to promote at this point?
Nothing for me to promote at the minute.
In that case, just have a good morning and thank you, as always. Unreno Tech, thank you many, many times over. And again, I know you're telling me
Wait
that I should.
Wait a minute. I'm being goofy.
He's drunk. And
he's drinking.
No, right? Actually, I'm not drunk. That's the funny part. Is like I'm actually like this most days. I'm just, you know, I had a good day. That's all.
Hmm.
You know, yeah. It would take a lot more than what I've consumed to actually get drunk, let alone even approach tipsy.
That's okay. Mostly because you're as fat as you are. It's okay. Joey?
Shots fired.
Oh, snap.
What was that, you?
All I ask is for one rehearsal on a Saturday morning.
No.
It's not so much to ask. Good morning. Thank you.
You had said something, but somebody was talking over you, and I didn't. I just wanted to make sure it wasn't anything important, okay? I'm sorry.
I was saying good morning, and thank you for your time, as usual. Try to take care of yourself.
I make no promises, he says as he's about to take a puff out of a cigarette.
But of course.
Look, this, yeah, I know it's wrong, but it's my choice. I'm not doing it around anyone else. I know it's wrong and it's bad for me, but this, more than anything, should go to show we on this show are anything but infallible. We each have our own vices and our own mistakes and our own, you know, skeletons in the closet. We are just normal people.
Fair enough.
That reminds me, I need to clean that one up one of these days.
Starting Richard, to smell.
Richard, as always, thank you so much, hon, and you take care of yourself. Do you have anything that you would like to cross-promote at this point?
Sure. Not for me directly, but June 4th in Washington, D.C., the Reason Rally 2 is coming up. So it's in Washington, D.C. If people want to start making plans, hotel rooms are already selling out.
Very cool.
So plan ahead. Heretic Woman, thank you, of course, for your time. I did wave as we were going through.
I was actually in Guelph, but that's okay. Today was our monthly meetup in Guelph, so I wasn't actually here. But that's okay. Arno must have seen it, I'm sure. He was outside raking leaves.
Sure. Yeah, well, right as we were going over to Harvey's to eat.
Yes, of course, which I didn't go to Harvey's today, but that's okay. Another time.
That's okay. We did for you. Go ahead and plug all of the things.
Well, so it's Monday on Beyond the Trailer Park is going to be really cool. We are talking to two ex-Jehovah Witnesses. It's our first JW episode, and it's going to be really exciting. So tune into that at 9:30 p.m. Eastern on our YouTube channel, which is Beyond the Trailer Park. So we're looking forward to that. And we've got one lady who's been out of the J-Dubs for a while, and the young gentleman, he's from Toronto, and he's only been out since the spring. So he's got lots to talk about, for sure.
Wow.
So, yeah. Yeah, you'll have to. He's got a plan for. He's anticipating being called in to get disfellowship reasonably soon, and he's got a plan that you'll be interested to hear about.
I guess that means I'm going to have to find some time to actually take a listen.
Yeah,
I think so. It's going to be fun.
See, and so that everybody understands, I'm not being snide at all. I've got so much on my collection, on my thing, that I'm behind. I'm actually listening to, well, this kind of feeds in for a second, no pun intended. I've been listening to our feed so I can hear what we sound like, how we come across, how I'm doing as host, moderator, and you know, as panelist all at the same time, and I'm realizing that's not an easy job sometimes. So yeah, I will most assuredly try to find some time to be able to sneak.
There are so many good podcasters out there. I just did 3.5 hours on a show last night. I'd never heard of these wonderful folks before, and they do a great show, and I kind of felt bad that I'd never heard of them before, because they're a lot of fun. So, you know, it happens.
All right, and what was the show again? And we'll see if we can drop it into the notes, too.
It was the Utah Outcasts. So there's a... Exofer, or X as he goes by, Felicia and Kyle, and they were a lot of fun. And if you ever want to know absolutely anything about cheese, Felicia is your girl. I'm just saying.
Keep that in mind. Yeah. All right. So if there's a website of some kind that we can,
yes,
we can drop in the show notes.
Yes, UtahOutcast.com.
Okay, we'll make sure that that's dropped into the overall show notes, which means that I finally get over to the guy who makes all the audio happen. Dallin, thank you so much for your work and being on today, and have yourself a good morning.
Yeah, glad to be here as always when I can be. I'll actually even be here next week. I might even have some news, I hope.
Ooh.
I don't go out and state this a lot, but I am trying to be a writer. I've written something that I'm hoping to get published someday. It's actually gone into first revision with a peer, but just recently an anthology put out a call for short stories, and I submitted, I think it was last week. December 11th apparently is when the official deadline is, so that's the day before our next show, at least on my clock anyway. I'm hoping that I'll hear something. It's not much, but it could mean that I become a published author in the next month or so. Call it an aspiration. It's probably not... Well, put it this way. The subject matter of said short story will probably never make it on this show.
Fair enough. Good luck, man.
Yeah. Shujin will like it, though.
I'm hopeful I'll get the opportunity to read it then. We'll see what happens. Eventually, one day. He'll never send in my way. He'll never do that. any case, real quick pieces of housekeeping at the moment. At the moment, I do not anticipate any kind of change in our schedule. The next couple of weeks fall on the 13th, 20th, 27th, and 3rd as we go forward in time. So since we're not falling on the day of, the day before, or the day after a holiday, I don't think that we're going to change out our schedule at this point. I don't see a bye week coming up. We may have a couple of folks that may have other commitments, which is perfectly understandable and fine. We do that, not a problem. So we'll see how that plays out. As a reminder also, however, the 20th is the winter solstice. So those of you that are planning on having whatever festivities, cool, have a great time. It is the 20th this year. Hmm. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Oh. So that'll work out well. And I normally would not do this, but I will say, and partly because Bridget kind of tipped my hand without realizing it, next week we're going to be converting to Satanism. I didn't tell anybody about this, and I'll tell you why. Because next week, we're going to be pitting 7 against 10. We're going to be pitting the 7 tenets of Satanism against the 10 commandments.
Yeah.
Nice.
I can tell you how that's going to go.
Oh, it's going to be good.
Then I'll have to go and dig out my satanic Bible. Thanks for letting me know.
I didn't mean to take your hand, Shujin. I'm so sorry.
Okay. No, nothing wrong with that. It's very rare for me to announce a topic too far in advance. And part of that is because of the way that things work out for me. Part of it is also because I don't want us to go too far normally. Because it's just this is how we see it. But this is one of those times where, you know, last week I tried to give a little bit more warning. This week, yeah, I think giving everybody the full week's advantage is probably a really good idea.
Yeah.
What are we going to do with the rest of the show then? Because that should take 5 minutes.
I'm sure we'll come up with something. I think we're going to take up strip pole dancing, telecommuting.
Dick pics, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Dick pics. Okay. Well, I have my water bottle, but we could play a strip against humanity.
Yeah, ooh, you don't want to see like everyone has my to use shirt your, off.
Every, me either.
No. Oh, God, no. God, no. The end of Shujin's show.
Joseph, God has nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
And truth be told, if I'm going to go out, I'm anticipating on going out with a gangbang. So we'll have cognitive dissonance in 3 minutes,
and we'll kind of... I'll just...
All right.
The plastic surgeon always said, if you got to go... go with a smile.
Wait a minute. Hold it, everybody. Joey, you appear to be in pain.
I can't imagine why.
I think
you
suddenly
just imagine me with my shirt off.
I think we can wrap this one up with ba-dip-ba-dip-ba-dip. That's all, folks.
Or better yet, the Warner Brothers. And the Warner Sister Dot.
Good night, everybody. So, ladies and gentlemen, you have a rare opportunity of looking at our hand before we get to you. Take a look over the information about the Satanic Temple's 7 tenets. And then take a look in your Bible for the first incarnation of the 10 commandments.
Yeah, because we already know that most of you don't actually know them by heart.
Not only that, but there's multiple listings, and they don't all agree. And not all Bible incarnations agree on what they should be. The Protestants and the Catholics have all got different ones too. So remember, we're going to go ahead and we're going to pit these guys head to head, and we're not even going to have the ERB guys have to do anything with this. And believe me when I tell you, if you are a believer, when you get done with us, if you're not willing to at least go, okay, maybe I've got the wrong side, then we haven't done our job. Until that show, please stay safe, especially if you're going to be in an area where it's getting mighty cold. Because it's been a little bit on the wet side over here in Buffalo, and I'm not anticipating it when the sub-zero temperatures finally hit.
Yes.
Be safe out there, everybody. And of course, my lady, Matane Fujin, I love you and I miss you. You dream of me. And for all of you that are watching, thank you for your time. I wish you the peace I no longer have. I wish you the strength that I've learned. I wish you well. And of course, I don't think that I can go without actually having said, Nick and Zandy, you guys be safe down there. Everyone, until the next time we get together, everyone, good night.
You've been listening to Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. Feel free to leave a comment on the show's website at holycrapthevlogcast.com, where you'll also find links to our Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google Plus pages. Theme music provided by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. On behalf of all of us here, thank you for listening.